Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Happy Labor Day, Denver. Getting you set for Broncos Giants in the regular season opener this Sunday. Here's Aaron Goldhammer, CBS 4's Wormy Dean, and Raj Sharon on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Well, we've been waiting all season long, but in 6 days, 1 hour, and 56 minutes, ball's going to be in the air. Broncos will be back. Welcome to Game Week on 104.3 The Fan. We are live in the DraftKings Sportsbook Studios. Broncos, Giants, Sunday, 2:25. It's not on Monday Night Football, so I have no idea why this music makes sense, but I wanted it anyway. Turn it up, Denver. Let's get in the mood. Let's go, baby. MetLife Stadium in the Big Apple will be the site. I'm Aaron Goldhammer, and I am joined by CBS Denver Channel 4's Romy Bean. Romy, happy game week. What's up? Good to have you.
Oh, man, I am thrilled to be here. I am thrilled that we do not have a Sunday in 2021 without NFL anymore, guys. What a way to kick off the week.
And the top man, Romy, is with us, the boss, the head honcho, so we better not curse and we better be on our best behavior. 104.3 program director Raj Sharon is in the house. Raj, welcome to the Teddy Bridgewater era. It's game week.
Absolutely, and I can't remember the last time I mentioned this to you earlier, Aaron. I've heard a three-person show in Denver where all three people grew up Denver sports fans through and through.
Wow.
Romy, for life, right? From infancy, right?
Life. For life, always, and forever.
And in Aaron's case, my favorite thing about Aaron is Aaron has built this Iron Sheik from the 1980s level heel in Cleveland based on the fact that he wears Denver on his sleeve. Well, that's what I love the most.
Raj, I don't hide where I grew up. I will get into this more later, and not like anybody in the audience who's listening in Denver right now shy of my parents cares. But this is the first show that I've ever done on The Fan. I grew up in Denver. I went to East High School, and I've still been a Denver sports fan, even though I lived in New York, I lived in Wisconsin, I've done a show in Cleveland, as you mentioned, for the last 15 years. I'm the guy in Cleveland whose great sports memories include the drive and the fumble and jumping up and down and hugging my dad. So it's good to be not on the heel side, but on the side of the fans that I love and the place that I love and the place that I come from. So Sunday, you guys, two similar teams, right? Good defenses, questionable quarterbacks. You know, Romy, I think this game, as much as anything else, is going to come down to coaching. You have the Belichick disciple, Joe Judge, of course, for the Giants. It sounds maybe ridiculous to say this, but a lot of this is on Vic Fangio on Sunday, and I think this is the biggest game of the Vic Fangio era. Am I crazy?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think probably everyone's talked about this ad nauseum. They're 0-7 in September under Vic Fangio. And even if they go and, let's say, win the games 2 and 3, but you lose game 1, it's like it's already just a giant stain on this season. I feel like the pressure on Vic Fangio to get a win in September, the first one for the Broncos since 2018, is paramount. And if he doesn't, they feel like that's already a first little locker room fracture if they don't get that first week win one.
Yeah, Raj, I think, you know, it's felt a little different in camp this year, right? I mean, there's been health. Obviously, we haven't been as tight with COVID as last year, but we also didn't have the whole Von Miller situation, and most of the key pieces for the Broncos are back. But just, like, I'm trying to feel out what Vic Fangio has changed to try to actually, you know, win not just a game in September, but I think it's important, Romy, to what you said, that they start, you know, 2-1 or 3-0 based on where the schedule goes after those first three games.
Aaron, I can't remember more pressure on a start of a season. That's been the theme we're all talking about. I think it's the combination of what Romy pointed out, the poor starts the last few years in September, and the fact that the schedule is quote-unquote light early in the year, and the thought of if you can't take care of the Giants and Jacksonville and the Jets, what's going to happen when you're facing Baltimore and eventually down
Mahomes
the line Kansas
guy.
City?
Yeah, Romy, do we have to play that Mahomes guy at all this year, or did he retire? What about that Herbert guy? Is he good? I think those two quarterbacks are in the Broncos division. Also, Romy, you mentioned this, the 0-7 in the month of September for Fangio as the coach of the Broncos. Is he on the hot seat?
I mean, I think so in the sense of this is how I look at George Payton has come in, and this year to me, he's looking at everything he's inherited. He's already made a lot of moves, right? But it's still his first year, and he's taken stock every day, every game, every week of what he has inherited. And I think nobody's job is guaranteed. I mean, let's not even get into what might happen if they sell the team and there's new ownership, but just on George Payton alone, right? This year, he doesn't have loyalty to anyone here. Let's be honest. And I do think that he's,
sure.
he seems like a loyal guy. He seems like a guy that will reward you if you've done well. He showed that with Shelby Harris. He showed that with Justin Simmons, even though those weren't, mm-hmm. you know, his players. But Vic Fangio has got to prove that he can have a winning season or, you know, what does George Payton owe him? Nothing.
Right. And Payton's going to want his guy in there. And Raja, you know, I'm worried. I've seen this in the league happen so many times where you have sort of one of these arranged marriages, right? I mean, George Payton didn't pick Vic Fangio to be his head coach.
In all fairness, if not for arranged marriages, I wouldn't be here, Aaron, as an Indian. So let's just keep that in mind. But I know where you're going with this. I'm going to slightly disagree in that I don't think it's I feel this pressure that if Vic Fangio starts, I've heard this comment over the last week here on The Fan, if he doesn't start at least 2-1, he could be in trouble, maybe to not even finish the season. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, guys. This is a team that's staring down a new owner within 12 months from now.
Sure.
It is just cleaner to finish things out. So even though, yes, I think he's coaching for his future beyond this season, I don't know if it's necessarily in season and the hot start everybody keeps referencing.
I agree with that. I think totally agree with that. I don't think firing coaches in season really does much of anything. And I agree. I think this is for this year and beyond. He's in this third year, right? So I think he has a 4-year deal. This is the year at the end of the year you get the extension, because if you go into your fourth year without extension, locker room's not listening to you. Players not listening to you. So it's in that sense, it's for his future, as Raj said, for sure.
Well, I wonder, you know, I don't know about getting fired during the season, and I agree, it's not like the Broncos are going to turn it around and go to the Super Bowl. Nobody remembers the Eric Studisville era in Cleveland. It's the first
There's
time.
There's your first one.
It's not going to be the last.
Well, in fairness, you almost went Pat Shurmur, who once, maybe people do remember that era in Cleveland, Aaron. You can caution us those as well.
No doubt, but, you know, I think that I'm not sure that he's in danger of getting fired during the year. I will say this, though. As a Bronco fan, I don't want to put up with 5 years and no playoffs and 6 years and no playoffs and 7 years and no playoffs. There's just a higher standard with this organization. This is, if you look at it, arguably the worst stretch of Bronco football since 1980, right? I mean, that we've gone through over the course of the last four seasons. So Romy, to me, has got to be 9-8. I think he's got to be over 500 in order to keep this job, because I think you pointed it out, the new ownership situation and the new, you know, GM in place. Like, I think if they're not over 500, I think that Vic Fangio is going to be on the chopping block come the second week of January, and we're going to be doing one of these coaching searches. I think the standard to me is right about there, what he has to do in order to keep his job.
I completely agree, and I think there's another reason. You look at the personnel this year. This team has, this year, the personnel to have a winning season, to crack the playoffs, maybe grab that seventh wild card spot. I mean, we look at the defense. It's one of the highest paid defenses in the league. You look at the offense, all these guys that the past couple of years, you said they're young. I mean, they're not that young anymore. This team is built around, I know there maybe are some questions at quarterback, but I think that Teddy is cerebral enough to game manage this team beautifully. He's got an O-line to protect him. He's got, obviously, an arsenal of receivers. He's got a run game that's going to be fantastic. And, again, he's got that defense to lead the way. So I think because of how good this personnel is, that now it does come down to coaching. And those little things we've seen the past few years from Vic Fangio, time management, obviously is going to be a big one. But, you know, the past couple of years felt like they needed to kind of get that personnel. It wasn't quite there. It's there this year. And so I think even more so, there's no excuse not to go 9-8.
That's the key word, Romy, excuses. The excuses are gone, guys. Yeah. I mean, you can't play on the excuse you didn't have offseason and OT. We heard that all last year. Okay, that's gone. You can't claim you like the roster and then play on the roster.
Quarterback's too young.
First year in the system. They're all gone now. All those excuses are gone. But, you know, I'll say, Aaron, because you mentioned nine wins, I think, because that's a game everybody likes to play, how many games they need to win to retain
jobs.
Oh,
schedule game. It's a tried and true Denver game, right? Tradition. Yeah, we did it in Mr. Zaragoza's class.
Absolutely. We all do it.
Schedule game every year, right.
I'd say this, though. There are multiple ways you can have a 9-win season, and I think that can dictate things. If I tell you the Broncos start 3-0 and somehow finish the season with just 9 wins, that might be different than if they start slow and they come on strong later in the season.
See, to me, they're 0-4 kind of already. Do you think they're going to beat L.A. or Kansas City once? Maybe. I mean, I'd sign up right now if you could give me 1-3 in those four games those two teams.
I think they're going to take L.A. down, and I'll tell you why. Brandon Staley is a Vic Fangio disciple, and I think that he's going to have an idea of how he's going to run his team. And one other thing, if you look at with Vic Fangio, is he is excellent against rookie and first-year quarterbacks. So I think that does give them a little bit of an edge. Look, I don't think you're going to get two against L.A., but I think they could sneak one.
Can he beat the Chiefs? Can he beat the Chiefs, though?
Oh, please. I mean, what if they lost 11 in a row?
The last win was 2015.
If we go just by, the law of averages, doesn't it have to happen this year? I don't know. The Chiefs, it's just hard. They're so good. We often talk about you run into Chiefs fans and they're like, yeah, this is what it was like when you guys had John Elway. Ha, ha, ha. So it feels like that, but it feels like it's got to break it at some point. I mean.
But on the list of things that I want the Broncos to do this year, beat the Chiefs is near the top of the list.
At
some point, you got to look at your arch rival and say we can be on the same field as them. And frankly, there have been a couple of these games where they've been in the game in the fourth quarter. It's not like every single one is 55-10 or something, So I think it's possible, it's plausible, but I just think that they have to play smarter, turn the ball over less, get better quarterback play. Which brings me to a theory that I have, a secret that I have. Aaron Goldhammer, Romy Bean, Raj Sharon with you on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Look, I think the Broncos, you guys, are better than a lot of people think. I really do. I think they've got pretty good defense. I think they've got really good skill position guys. I think they're going to run the ball effectively. I think their offensive line is pretty good. And I like the decision that Vic Fangio made with Bridgewater because I just think Drew Lock gave you no chance last year because of the amount of times he turned over the ball. And even though no one is picking them today, Romy, to make the playoffs, Peter King came out with his predictions. We'll get to those. Pro Football Talk, Football Morning in America, ESPN.com has a series of predictions that are out today. No one's mentioning the Broncos. I would not be surprised if the Broncos made the playoffs this year. Would not surprise me one bit.
I'm with you there, especially because, first of all, there's seven teams now that can get in, right? So there's that extra wild card spot. But I completely agree. Again, I think that, look, here's the thing. The team has to prove it, right? Every year we come in, it's going to be a better year. Well, it's been 5 years of, not that. But truly, going through training camp, looking at this team does look different. This team looks like it has figured a lot of things out, not to mention, and again, we're not making excuses, but all those injuries from last year, if these guys can stay healthy, I mean, this defense, we've seen it in 2015, how a defense can lead the way if the quarterback, no, I'm not comparing Teddy to Peyton Manning in any way, but there was a lot of times, even in Super Bowl 50, Peyton Manning was a game manager at that point. He knew what he had to do to make sure the offense was effective enough and then just let the defense do the rest. And I think that recipe works for this team this year, and you can win a lot of games that way and enough to crack the playoffs. I agree, and I just think, the Broncos they've had back-to-back losing seasons, four straight losing seasons. They have to prove it. Until you can't get the national media on board until you start actually doing it.
You're going to paint me in the negative corner, guys, but why would nationally anybody predict this team to turn it around? I mean,
hold on. Teams are more than just quarterbacks. And I feel like a lot of these power rankings, they say, okay, how good is your quarterback? And that's what the power ranking ends up being.
Well, look, who are the final four teams last year, Aaron? Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen.
You don't think that Teddy could have a Ryan Tannehill type season, though? You don't think that he could be one of the Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer? I don't think the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's a better chance they make the playoffs than they have the number one pick in the draft. Hands down, I would say by far. Better chance they make the playoffs than they have the number one pick in the draft to me.
I'd take that bet. I'd take that bet for sure. I completely agree. I think the thing with Teddy, too, is people forget how good he was before that knee injury. Now, look, that was a long time ago. Don't get me wrong. But But it is like you said, I think you have to have the quarterback to win a Super Bowl. I do. But I don't think you have to have him necessarily to crack the playoffs, to make a run, to have a winning season.
The Bears made the playoffs last year, Raj. I don't even remember. Were they playing Foles or Trubisky? I remember it was the Nickelodeon game.
I think
something.
That game was the immortal Mitch Trubisky at that point in time.
I mean, come on. You don't have to have Peyton Manning or John Elway in his prime to make the playoffs.
We know that recipe. We've seen the recipe. You can win. It's just... It is hard to win that way, but you can win that way, game managing at quarterback and relying on your defense. But from my perspective, for me at least, it's just mine, the three things I've always looked at going into a season are the quarterback, and by the way, they're in this order, the quarterback, the offensive play caller, and the head coach. Those have been the three.
Okay.
I don't have
a
ton of confidence in any of the three right now.
But Raj, what about everything else? So they don't have the most important things, but they do kind of have everything else. They're the coach and the quarterback away. I know that sounds ridiculous, but here we are, Denver. Find me a coach and find me a quarterback, and we're in business. That's what every NFL season and city is saying. I'm Aaron Goldhammer with Romy Bean and Raj Sharon on 104.3. The Fan. All right, little news that we'll get to, and then we'll start to mix it up, and we've got a bunch of stuff to get to today. What a game in college football last night between Notre Dame and Florida State, which was awesome. We'll touch on that. And an awkward An awkward Brian Kelly moment that we have to discuss. But first of all, Broncos are practicing this afternoon. Romy, let's start with you. What do you know about Bradley Chubb's injury, and is there any concern that he is not going to be on the field or not 100% on Sunday?
You know, it has been interesting with Bradley Chubb because they started him slow in camp, and we were kind of like waiting. And then when we did see him out there, and when he finally got some game action, you know, I thought he looked great. Him and Vaughn together, they looked great. You know, then he seemed to have a little bit of a nagging. It kind of came back. So with Bradley, it is a bit of a question mark because it just feels like we haven't really, it's been a bit of an up and down off season for him. But you know, I feel like it doesn't seem like it's anything that is going to hold him back from Sunday. You know, like they often say in football, right? As soon as you're not healthy, as soon as the season starts, nobody is, but you go out there and play. And I think, I think we're going to see him. But, and here's the thing. If for some reason he can't, which I hope he can, Malik Reed is waiting in the wings, folks, and you know, a lot of people make comparison like he's like a little baby Shaq Barrett. I mean, you know, Shaq has earned his keep, so you can't quite make that comparison, but they got depth there. That is one thing about the Broncos, I think, all over the place. They're like too deep everywhere on defense.
I think it's the key to the game because I don't think the Giants can block anybody, and I think that if they get to Daniel Jones, the Giants are going to turn the ball over four or five times, and the Broncos should be in good shape. We're going to hear from Fangio, get an update on Chubb, and we'll also hear from some players coming up a little bit later after practice this afternoon. Also, Raj, we get word. I could have told you this back in July, but magically, Romy, to your point, Saquon Barkley's knee feels well enough, and it looks like he is going to be playing for the Giants. And maybe the one scary thing for the Broncos, to me, he's the one guy for the Giants that at any time could take the ball on Sunday and go 85, 75 yards to the house.
Well, and if you look at the way the Bronco defense is constructed, it's constructed to defend against the pass, which makes sense. You're in a division with Mahomes and Herbert, like you mentioned, but where's the money spent? It's spent in the secondary. It's spent with the pass rush. So if I'm calling plays for the Giants, if I'm Joe Judge, of course, I'm looking to run the ball. And if I've got Saquon Barkley, it's like the one guy you got to key in on, right, Aaron? And what was our concern, Romy, all offseason? One of the big ones, at least, was the middle linebacker position for the Broncos then, with Alexander Johnson and Jesse Jules. So, I'm keeping an eye on Saquon Barkley for sure, especially out of the backfield.
Well, and, you know, this is going to become that big test of even Vic Fangio's always talking about how, you know, he loves playing nickel, he loves playing dime because his corners can tackle. Well, if Saquon's going to be out there, you're going to have linebackers, but you might need to get Pat Surtain in on the action too, even. So we're going to get to see, can these guys tackle a guy? We keep talking about how they're going to cover tight ends. Can they come and attack the rush? Because without Saquon, Daniel Jones is toast, in my opinion. I'm kind of one of those people of the opinion, I know this is boring, but I like teams to go full strength against each other. I don't like it when, like, oh, they're missing their best weapon, and then the Broncos win. Well, that that doesn't do much for me. So I know
it's part of the game.
Kind of unpopular, but I want to see
Saquon. I'm not going to be cheering, Romy, if Saquon were to go down in the first quarter, but, you know, as long as his long-term health is okay, maybe I'm a bad fan in this way, but I believe the Broncos have, like, made a couple Super Bowls in the past because of some key injuries on the teams that they're playing against. And I'm not going to sit here and feel bad because there are probably other years where they could have made it, but they were missing a guy or two. So it's part of the game. It's part of it. And, you know, I can't wait for Sunday. Guys, is there a palpable buzz in the city or is the quarterback situation?
That is a good question.
Is the quarterback situation sort of just brought this thing, like, Is this the least exciting Bronco team since when? There's no, like, I'll put it this way, Raj. Justin Fields is the quarterback on Sunday. Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah, the hype is there.
They've got the booth in the Shotgun Willie's parking lot selling jerseys on Colorado Boulevard, right? I mean, like, that's the – but this is sort of – I don't know. I see. I think they're better than a lot of people do. But I think there's the juice to go marketing on you.
I feel there's a fool me one, shame on you kind of situation where we've gotten a narrative each year since Super Bowl 50.
Yeah.
The next year was, well, look, we won last year without great quarterback play. We'll be fine with this defense and Trevor Siemian. Mm-hmm. The year after that was, hey, we're going to have a quarterback competition between Siemian and at that point Paxton Lynch, which will bring the best out in one of them. And then that person will emerge.
Let's relive that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Not.
Then we go to Case Keenum. Hey, we just brought in a guy who had a great season, you know, Minnesota Miracle, et cetera. And then the next year is Joe Flacco, Super Bowl MVP. Then you had last year going into the year with Drew Lock coming off of 4 wins in 5 games as a rookie. You feel like you found the guy. This is the first year where I feel like I don't know what it is other than
the theme
being, hey, Teddy Bridgewater is more
fans,
competent than what we've had. And that might contribute to kind of the tempered view.
You know, fans what are we calling this stadium now again?
Empower Field at Mile High? Come on now, Aaron.
It's not Sports Authority. It's
no.
Like Invesco.
We're on number 3.
Business.
It's okay.
I still call it Mile High. Is that okay, or am I going to get in trouble?
Yeah, it's at Mile High, so you can call it. All right, okay. This is unpopular opinion, but I am one of those people that I hope Teddy lights it up. I am rooting for Teddy like nobody's business, because here's the thing. He came in here. Melvin Gordon said something interesting at the beginning of preseason. He said last year was really difficult for him because he felt like, you know, people were kind of like, we don't like you. You're the guy taking away Phillip Lindsay's reps, right? And it feels like Teddy kind of is facing that same thing where they're like, no, you know, you're the guy that took it away from Drew Lock. But Teddy is such a cool dude. You watch this guy interact with everybody. I mean, you can see how much the team loves him. You can tell why he's beloved. I get comments all the time from people. Just the other day, some guy, we loved him in New Orleans. You're getting such a good character person. I mean, and I'm hoping, like you mentioned earlier, he has that Ryan Tannehill, gives it that buzz because he's such a good dude. He's been through so much, and I just feel like I'm just pulling for it. I'm really pulling on the Teddy train. And I don't know. I think with the excitement, for me, I'm kind of a sucker for good defense. So I'm getting hopped up. I'm getting really hyped up. But I know this is an offensive league. It's a quarterback league. So, I think that is why it's tempered.
Well, look, on the texts right now, it is the, I got to get this right, RamosLaw.com text line.
Look at you.
How about that? 303-713-1043 on the RamosLaw.com text line. As a Bronco fan, what would you rather? Would you rather stink this year and get Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma or sign Aaron Rodgers in the offseason? Or would you rather make the playoffs and, like Romy is saying, have Teddy Bridgewater back as your quarterback in 2022? 303-713-1043 is the number. Also, you can call the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. We're hitting all the sponsors. We are going to get to your calls and tweets coming up. Also, an incredible night in college football. We will get to that as well. Let's get this right. It's Aaron, Romy, and Raj on Sports Radio, FM 104.3 The Fan.
Happy Labor Day, Denver. Getting you set for Broncos Giants in the regular season opener this Sunday. Here's Aaron Goldhammer, CBS 4's Romy Bean, and Raj Sharon on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan.
Countdown is on. Broncos Giants 6 days from now. Might be a fork in the road moment for Vic Fangio. I'm Aaron Goldhammer, Romy Bean, Raj Sharon with you. Coming up in an hour, We're going to play a little game, guys, that I think Raj is a little afraid of. It's called Mystery Guest. Romy, I'm going to bring a former Bronco since 1990 on the hotline. And you guys are each going to have five yes or no questions. So my advice is to play this like 20 questions. Did you play offense? Did you play defense? You guys are each going to have five. And then at the end of the five questions, you will guess. And Bronco fans will guess. And we'll see who can identify the mystery guest that is on the line. We're going to do that coming up at 1:30. Raj, you still look at me like you're scared of this segment for some reason.
I'm actually very much looking forward to it. I just have a concerned resting face.
No, I just think you're worried that Romy's going to school you. I just think...
Oh, I know that will happen. There's no concern about that.
Like random Bronco history. And look, by the way, like, Romy, it's not Peyton Manning. Like, let me just throw that out there right now. It's not Jake the Snake Plumber. Like, it's not somebody who would get mobbed if they showed up to sign autographs at King Supers. But I guess the other hint I'll give you is that it's somebody who I think would be recognized if they showed up at King Supers. Like, maybe they'd take one or two. Romy, when you go to the grocery store, do people ask you for a selfie on the average grocery store trip, yes or no?
No.
Do you get excited when they do, or do you get, like, freaked out because you're afraid that they're going to give you COVID?
Oh, my gosh. I love it. I'm one of those people, like, I'm a normal person. So if somebody like comes out and says, oh my gosh, I knows who I am, I'm like totally honored. I get totally excited. I think that's really, really cool because I'm just, I don't see myself as anything more than anybody else in this world at all. So for me, it's always a very cool moment. I soak that up. I love it.
Aaron's asking you because he's usually not asked for selfies. In fact, he's usually screamed upon in the streets. Go back to Denver. Go back to Denver.
I actually did see someone tweet that at you today.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, the responses are great. They were great. Aaron puts out there on Twitter earlier today that he's hosting on The Fan in Denver. Sure. And boy, the responses.
Yeah.
People are really happy in Cleveland that you're on in Denver today, Aaron.
Well look, if I left Cleveland, they would be happy for about 10 minutes. Then they would miss me. Do you know why they'd miss me so much, Raj? Because I'm so damn good. That's right, baby. We'll get back to some other Broncos things lingering here, and we'll play, as I said, the mystery guest coming in about an hour. But I had lunch before the show, and I ran into a conundrum, and I'm curious where you guys stand on this conundrum. Okay. So I have the box from Costco of the Frito-Lays, right? And I've got, here's what's in the box. I've got Lay's, I've got Fritos, traditional regular Fritos, which I haven't had in forever. I got the nacho cheese Doritos, I got the cool ranch Doritos, and then I've got Cheetos. If you had your pick, one of those five, this is the toughest decision that I've had to make today. When you go into the box, which bag are you pulling out?
I missed the first. There were so many. Can you rename them?
Yeah, it's all the Frito-Lay chips.
Oh.
It's funny because normally I eat like a fancy Boulder chip or something like that, you know, from Whole Foods. But it's Lay's, Fritos, the two kinds of Doritos. You got the nacho cheese and your Cool Ranch. And then you've got Cheetos, which I like, but then I'm always stuck in that weird, like, residue on my fingers place with the Cheetos, which I don't like. So, Romy, what are you eating?
Yeah, I gotta go nacho cheese Doritos, man. You know, it's like, without fail, it always hits the spot.
You say that like this isn't even an argument. Like, you're not making an argument for the Lay's potato chips? You can't even craft one?
No, you talk about, like, the residue from the Cheetos. Talk about the residue from the Lay's potato chips. It's like you can't even open a door handle after that because there's so much grease on your hands. I don't know. It's like, when do nacho cheese Doritos not hit the spot? Never. They don't. They always hit the spot.
Raj, are they the king of the chips?
I'm a Cool Ranch.
Whoa, that's bold. I got to be in the right mood for the Cool Ranch. But I imagine it's a debate that, you know, at your Labor Day barbecue, you see the basket. Like, and, Romy, I think you're right. The nacho cheese Doritos probably do go first. And I don't think the Fritos get enough love. I went Fritos. I haven't had them in a long time. You might consider me bland and boring, but I got to say, I thought they were pretty good. 303-713-1043. You can text the RamosLaw.com text line. And you can also call us the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. 303-713-1043. That's 303-713-1043. 1043. I posed this question, Raj, about would you rather just stink, go to the top of the draft, get one of the sexy rookies, or, you know, this Aaron Rodgers thing. Mark Schlereth's report is still lingering out there that eventually...
Are we going to smear stink now? Are we going to smear stink?
Well, look.
That's a stinky smear campaign.
He did say that the Broncos are going to sign Aaron Rodgers, so I'm waiting. Would you rather that, or would you rather Bridgewater work out and Fangio work out? Am I wrong as a Bronco fan to be rooting for the eventual path that I think gets me to the Super Bowl quickest, but means that they don't necessarily have the best season?
I don't think you're wrong in doing that. I don't think you're wrong at all. I think that if you're, as a fan, I don't think any fan listening, if you think what's best for the team is losing, I understand it. There's logic behind it. It's hard for me on game day to not cheer for the Broncos. You've been cheering for me your whole life. Just, you know, inherently you want to do it. But if the logic you're spelling out, because the question you asked, Teddy work out, Vic work out, that's all relative. If those things hit at the highest levels that they possibly could, does it still result in the ultimate goal? You might make the argument, no, it doesn't. So would you prefer to go the other way?
I could make an argument. If we played the season 1,000 times, I don't think the Broncos would win the Super Bowl once.
I'll disagree with you on Aaron Rodgers, though. I actually think Teddy playing well and the team doing well helps your chances to get Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh.
Because it's going to make you more appealing Aaron coming this offseason.
So tell me more about that. You think that like NBA free agency recruiting, that showing that you run a competent program is going to help you?
Had Aaron came this season, it looked like the Broncos were the only fit. Now there's going to be an entire league, presumably, that's going to be able to make a run at him. I keep going back to when Peyton came here.
Yeah.
He was joining a team that had won a playoff game with Tim Tebow. That had to be pretty appealing to him to look and see how far the team had gotten. And if I join this team, I can help put them over
the top.
They're
ready to win.
If they only win three or four games this year, I don't think it looks terribly appealing to Aaron Rodgers.
Romy, would you rather 7-10 or 2-15? I'm still getting used to these 17 game records, by the way. It's so weird. 7-10 or 2-15, if it meant the 2-15 means you get Rattler or Rodgers.
You know, I understand why some people would be there for that. But because we have gone so long like this, a five-year playoff drought, four losing seasons, I am not in the camp that is cool to watch another losing season just for the hope that then you're going to get the next guy that's going to take you to the promised land. I just think I'm not here for that. I want to see wins. I want to see a team make progress.
Sure.
I want to see them move in the right direction. I want to see this fan base reignited because they believe that this team can go somewhere, that this team doesn't always have to go out and look elsewhere. And you know what? I think Raj makes an excellent point, right?
Thank you.
Everyone's going to be going after Aaron Rodgers. I said this at the beginning of the year. If I'm the Packers, I am not trading this guy till next season, to the end of the season, because then you've got eight teams that want a new quarterback, plus it's Aaron Rodgers, so you're just going to have a grand bidding war. So, yeah, if you're a more successful team, then you can look and say, oh, my gosh, look what they did with Teddy.
Aaron, we won nine games with Teddy Bridgewater. You come here, look how far we could go. You can make that argument, Aaron, in that
case.
Sure.
Yeah, you could come here and win a Super Bowl. You could be one of the, you know, on that list with Peyton and Brady, the guys that have won Super Bowls with two different teams. I think that enhances his legacy. I don't know if he'd be thrilled to come here and run Pat Shurmur's playbook. I don't know that I'd invite Pat Shurmur to that meeting. I might tell him that it was at a different place than where it was originally actually scheduled. But that's a conversation for another day. On the Rattler thing, what impressions did we have of the college quarterbacks over the weekend? And why was I watching Cincinnati and North Carolina football? Intriguingly, as a Bronco fan, we get to that next. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. She is Romy Bean from Channel 4. Raj Sharon, the program director at 104.3 The Fan, is with us on 104.3 The Fan. That was an awkward throw to play. Play the commercials.
Happy Labor Day, Denver. Getting you set for Broncos Giants in the regular season opener this Sunday. Here's Aaron Goldhammer, CBS 4's Romy Bean, and Raj Sharon on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan.
You can go ahead and text us. It is the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. That's 303-713-1043. I'm Aaron Goldhammer, Romy Bean from Channel 4, Raj Sharon, the boss, at 104.3 The Fan with us on this Labor Day afternoon. Texts are coming. You guys, I didn't realize, like, I've never really experienced one of these text lines before.
It's a scary place. Just be cautioned when you go in there.
Okay. I mean, what, so Raj, what should I do? Should I just start reading them from the top down?
This is my advice.
Should I like cherry pick?
No, yeah. This is my advice. If people tell you you're great on it, awesome. If they tell you you're bad, awesome. If you see something interesting, maybe share it.
Okay. I'm seeing something interesting here. I don't know who this is. This is from
put your name on your text so that we can give you credit.
Also, this is a 720 area code, which I'm sorry. I grew up in the 303 Denver, and the 720 Denver just isn't the same as the 303 Denver. Sorry. The 303
I'm just waiting for you to take a shot on 970 and just make everybody upset.
Oh, 970 is you're in friggin' Grand Junction. If you've got a 970 area code.
I grew up in the 970. Thank you very much.
Dude, I'll see you on the western slope if you're on the 970.
I grew up on the western slope.
Dude, you're on the other side of the Continental Divide. I'm stuck in traffic on Vail Pass for you in the 970. That's not Denver. That's Durango 970.
What about the 719?
What is the 71?
I don't know.
719 is Southern Colorado. Southern.
There is something. Is there a new area code just because so many Californians?
I think 719's been around.
Moved to Colorado.
Oh, it's boy. You hit a nerve with people on that one right there.
Yeah, I mean, come on. To originally be from Denver, to know what Denver, the cow town, was like, to have, like. We could tell you what the 80s were like in Denver. Most of the people listening to this
didn't
right
even
now,
have a 303.
Maybe you can't. Yeah, we just sent our horse over to our neighbor's house and asked if they wanted to come over to play some basketball. All right, so Broncos Country, this is from 720, says, just want to win and get back to throwing in the AFC West. I don't know who gets us there. We used to be respected. Here's what I found interesting about this text. Where did the Broncos Country thing come from?
Okay, so this started after you left. This came a few years ago when, I want to say, Romy, was this around the time when the Red Sox branded their fan base, Red Sox Nation? And then everybody had to have a nickname to brand their fan
base. Everyone has one right now.
Now right? Everybody has one.
And it was either Country or Nation. But it's, you know what's really funny, Aaron, is there'll always be like, someone will come and a new guy and they say, like, I can't wait to be part of Broncos Nation. And people are like, it's Broncos Country.
They will get very upset. They've rallied around this marketing upset. Term. My favorite's when you'll get the notes from the Broncos and, like, if a new player's been drafted and they say it incorrectly,
yes.
They will correct it in the notes. So you'll have, like, brackets and they'll replace Nation right. with Country.
So you're saying the transcript of the press conference will say, I'm glad to be a part of Broncos Nation. Like,
no, they'll correct it and put brackets and put Country. So it'll say Broncos bracket Country. Right. So that
all the newspapers and websites will make sure to get this right. Guys, I think we can do better than Broncos Country. Like, I don't know what that means. Here's what I think. The South Stands, right? No one was like, oh, like, we should have a South Stands at the old Mile High. There wasn't a guy scheming in a marketing meeting that said, I'll wear a barrel to the games. And everybody will think it's cool, and they'll call me Barrel Man. Like, that stuff naturally happens. Is Broncos Country natural? Did it sort of happen organically?
No,
it was birthed in a marketing meeting.
Yeah. It was born in a marketing meeting.
I feel like everyone does it now, right? And there's
effective marketing,
right? There's Raider Nation, there's Broncos Country, there's
Chiefs.
Chiefs Kingdom.
Their kingdom.
Kingdom?
Yeah.
Yeah, their kingdom.
See,
what is it in Cleveland? Dog Pound?
We're the Dog Pound. And that, you know, give it credit.
It's unique.
It's unique, and it's an honest to goodness.
The Ravens have the flock?
Name.
The Ravens flock?
Like, what are you going to call it? Like, the horse stable?
Yeah, the Broncos buck. Like, to me, Thunder is natural. Thunder is cool. You know, like, yeah. If I got a chance to ride Thunder, I'd fly home for that. I'd take pictures for that, and they'd go up on my Facebook profile.
Yeah, good Broncos, luck getting that gig.
Broncos Country? You can't ride, they don't let you ride Thunder?
Oh, man, no, man. Thunder is a protected young lady, and Ann Judge, who rides Thunder, has been doing it forever. I don't know if you've ever, like, seen it, but she has the coolest chaps I've ever, they're, like, bedazzled. But yeah, she holds the fort down on Thunder.
Yeah, I wish I saw it a little bit more often last year because it would have meant that the Broncos, you know, scored a touchdown. So
they should do that, like ride Thunder for a touchdown. That'd be a giveaway I'd be into.
I would ride Thunder. I'd put on, you know, a big pair of cowboy boots and a cowboy hat, and I'd be excited.
Arguably my saddest moment as a Bronco fan, arguably, not was, it's kind of a random game. They're playing the Rams. It was actually the last game Josh McDaniels was the head coach. I think he got fired the next day. It was really cold. The Bronco offense hadn't done anything all game. They finally scored late in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't take Thunder out because she was too cold.
Too cold.
She was too cold. She'd been so stationary. That was very sad.
You know what my favorite part of Thunder is if you ever watch, there's always a guy walking right behind her with a shovel because she does have accidents a lot of times, like on the field or as she's making her way around. So I always like, oh, I want to be the shovel guy. There's a guy always behind her as she runs down the field, as she runs with the shovel, just in case.
That reminded me a few years ago, because I know we're going to transition to college football, Aaron. At the Rocky Mountain Showdown, Benjamin Hockman, good friend of mine, used to be in the market here at the Denver Post, and he was working on a story about running out with Ralphie, and he had to chase Ralphie with his phone, and I think Ben tripped and fell. Yeah.
See, Ralphie, and this is a good segue. I was looking at Romy's social media. Tell everybody, Romy, how they can follow you on Twitter. At Romy...
Underscore, that stinky underscore. At Romy underscore Bean.
At Romy... Who has at Romy Bean that you couldn't get it? And that's crazy.
Literally someone, and it's not even an account. I don't even think they, like, do anything with it. So, you know, you have to sneak in that silly underscore.
So, you were at the CU game at Folsom on Friday night, right?
Yes.
And I noticed, it seemed to me, like you were as excited about seeing Ralphie as you were about seeing the team. There were a lot of Ralphie tweets.
I was outrageously excited. I did. I literally, like, posted up. I was just squatting right by where they brought in Ralphie's, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, what's I don't know.
The thing that's attached to the car
the trailer.
Yeah, okay. And I'm like, and I'm watching them build it. But I was just so excited because it was this baby Ralphie, and honestly, it was the cutest thing I've ever seen. She up close, she still has like baby fur. When they pulled her out, you could tell she was like, excuse me, what is this? And her tiny little legs. I understand she's still 500 pounds, but like, just tiny compared to the normal Ralphie, and it was just so precious. It was the cutest thing, but it was also amazing. Then the crowd started chanting Ralphie. You talk about some of those traditions in college sports. Yeah. It was so fantastic seeing her out there. I was just, I could not get enough. I was like having a little too much excitement about it.
I got to say, having been, you know, around the country, the scene for a game at sunset at Folsom Field, it is as beautiful a spot. I know everybody talks about the Rose Bowl, and it's more beautiful when CU is good and they're winning, but it is as beautiful a place as you will find in the entire sports world. I think if you've got a better name than Broncos Country, they're coming fast and furious at Ramos Law. Yeah, we'll get to some of these coming up at the RamosLaw.com text line. And then I promise we'll break down the college quarterbacks, which I teased, but then we didn't actually deliver and pay off on the tease. I promise we'll get to that, too. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. She is Romy Bean. Raj Sharon with us on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.